You're only real one? Where were you born, please?
I was born in a Polish city of Lwów.
Which year?
In 1922.
What did your father do for a living?
My father was a doctor, general practitioner.
And did you have your schooling in Lwów?
No, it started, we were first, my father, when he finished his studies in the newly independent Poland. That is when it first became independent. My father had to, if he wanted to study further for final examinations, doctor of medicine, he had to have some money, so he had to join the army as a medical doctor for the 9th Polish Lancers, which was quite a tradition.
So where did you have your schooling?
That was in the extreme, almost before, very near the border with the then Soviet Union, which after they got a little bit knocked about by the Poles in 1920, and they had to go back. So we were in a very delicate situation.
What was the name of the place?
The place was Trembowla, which is a nice town with obviously also a history against during the war against the invaders from the east.
What were you doing when the Germans attacked Poland on the 1st of September 1939?
By that time, we have already been. My father moved from the east of Poland to the west of Poland to a little resort place called Rabka, actually, which was a resort for mostly children and elderly people. Where there were many doctors needed. So when he decided to leave the army after a time, because he had to sign to be serving for such and such time, and then when he finished at the state paid for his final exams, he was a fully fledged doctor of medicine, and he started his own private practice. And in Rabka Zdrój, when the war started, just a few 2 weeks before it started, in May 1939, I finished my so-called Lyceum, which is the higher level of the grammar school, if you like, the new system, just before the war it was introduced. And then I was entitled to go and study. What I wanted to study was engineering, mechanical engineering or whatever, at the Technical University of Lwów, which was famous for good teachers and others. So my father sent me there about a month, to stay with my aunt in Lwów. And that's where the war came.
What happened to you in the month of September 1939?
Well, in the month of September, they didn't immediately appear, the Nazis or the Nazi army. They were halted on the River Sam by General Suskowski, who made a very strong stand then with remaining troops. But eventually, because the Germans were coming from that side, and as you know, in after the Yalta Agreement, the Soviets also marched in at the same time from the other side. So we were faced, we wanted to go to Romania with my father when we heard that this is a sort of possible situation. But we just went by sort of using various strange vehicles who were, people were like trying to take us. People were going to Romania at that time because it was known that Poland is finished as a, for the time being. And we wanted to go from there, from Romania to Italy and to the army in France.
Did you get to Romania?
No, we didn't. Because the Soviets made a push, and they knew that a lot of Poles would go there that way, and halted it. Seeing what they were doing, the Soviets, that time, that's 1939, late September, my father, myself, and my cousin, my the son of my decided first that we would go for Romania, so that when we heard that the Soviets made this move, there was no point. So we practically marched all the way with a few thousand Poles back to Lwów, because it was still Poland. And there it was obvious that they will not allow anybody any freedom. They didn't land peacefully there, but they were in alliance with Hitler. So there was a possibility in Przemyśl, which is next to the west. There is a river, some I think it's called, and through that river, that was a demarcation line between the Soviets and the Nazis. They stopped on one side and the Soviets stopped there. My father, who knew not only German but also could speak Russian, went and persuaded them that family is, you know, he's got it. He must go to the Western Poland. Reluctantly, they agreed the whole family to go. That is, there were four children at that time, and that's including me. And two parents. And we started living in Rabka. And there, of course, after a time, the Nazi or the German terror increased and increased to the point that if you were a young man and you went out in the street and you met the Germans, ordinary soldiers, you had to take your hat off before them. Because they were the lords, sort of thing. So that's what moved initially my father to join the underground, which was forming, which was the Association for Polish Freedom, to translate it for ZWZ. And that was the main organization. The seat of it was at that time in Krakow, which is not far away, north. And of course, in another seat was in Warsaw. The general center is running it. So everybody at that time joined, when he was young, when he was patriotic, joined that organization.
Did you join yourself?
I joined myself, and you know who I was sworn in? That's Pope there.
The present Pope?
Biscop, the Bishop of Krakow at that time, and he was in the ZWZ.
Did you know him at the time?
I didn't know him, but I was a bishop of nobody. But he was very kind, and he asked me to repeat the swearing-in that's as much as I meant it. That's why when I first went to reasonably recently to Rome, he wanted to see me straight away.
You mean the present Pope inducted you into the Polish resistance?
Yes, he was in faculty. He was one of the organizers. Later on, it was a little too dangerous. And General Komorowski, later the one who later became the leader of the uprising in Warsaw.
When did the present Pope induct you into the Polish resistance? When would this have been about?
Well, that was the year 1942, beginning of it.
But this is a long time after 1939.
Oh, yes.
Had you been in Rabka all the time from 39 to 42?
I was attending the clandestine school of officers because I had the examination, after which in normal Poland you went to do as officer school, but they trained you to be an officer. And they needed officers for if there was an uprising. We were looking at the uprising all the time, but we would knock them on the head. we were dreamers.
But when did you first join the Polish resistance?
That was in 1942, just before my arrest.
You hadn't been in the Polish resistance before 1942?
Well, I had been attending these meetings where the officers instructed us what was the instructions in school for officers, but without being a member. And then the canon of this big church there was an ex-army officer, very patriotic, Canon Zinkowski, and he called me in and he said, well, you can't go on like this and not belonging to the thing, so you'll go to Krakow and then you will be
So
they
you
took it very seriously, as I said.
So between 39 and 42, you were being trained to be a Polish officer?
Well, it was a clandestine school for officers, but I mean it was only officers of infantry, because what could you teach people under these conditions, how to handle the arms, how to shoot, how to lead a small platoon, soldiers in case of an uprising and that sort of thing.
Where was this school for Polish army officers?
That was on the other side of it where we lived. A friend of mine with whom I finished these exams in the final senior grammar school.
So it was
there was a mover there, and his mother and his father was dead. They had a big three-tier sort of house. And on top, right under the roof, we were having lessons, lectures. But there were only a few, because the Germans had excellent group of informers. Among the population.
Among the Polish population?
There were sometimes, yes. Those who wanted to, but that wasn't the general, but they were. They were just informing something is going on there, and they were watching it. And when they arrested me and my father, they already had. My father was arrested three times. Because they had a certain amount of respect for him, because he spoke, having been in the First World War as a young medic, in the Austro-Hungarian army, drafted into it, he learned excellent German. So they Lynn was always respected. Somebody would speak German for that. And he was chief responsible for. The Germans, when they came, they took Polish railways organization, named it Ostbahn. Ostbahn means
East Railway.
That was very important to know what sort of, for the underground, what transport go where. So the General Komorowski, who knew my father, because they were, when General Komorowski was a colonel, and was a colonel of his 9th Lancers, my father was at that time still in the service of the army, was chief. There were 3 doctors in the Lancers regiment, a senior one and 2 junior ones, and he was a senior one. So they knew each other, the families knew. I remember they came to our place before the war, and General Komorowski was sort of pontificating on the head, said, "You two will be a cavalry man."
So your father was arrested 3 times, but released each time? Released?
Every time he managed somehow to convince him that they were wrong, that he wasn't in any area. But the Gestapo were no fools. What they did, each time, they made it appear to my father when they interrogated him. And I said to him, hello, at that time. Took him away, and it was 2 or 3 days in La Copana, in this horrible place, which was called I'll show you. So that itself was an indication that my father should have actually stopped this. But he was an optimist always, and he thought he could talk the Germans into it, that he was in it. Of course, the personnel there in the big station, there was the German personnel who were in charge. They were also watching him, and they noticed that he was asking them about transport and that sort of thing. They put 2 and 2 together. The Germans were no idiots. So but twice they released him, on the understanding that he won't mess around with any organizations, ever, against it. Of course, he had to give it. But the third time, when they came, they already knew about him. And what is worse, somebody spilled the beans of you. Is that the right word? Yes. And they knew that I was attending the sort of evening sessions of this little old group of people who were waiting to be officers or NCOs, if there was an upgrade. So they had both of us already taped for a new, they couldn't trust us. That's why it's treated us extremely brutally later on, as you will see from my book. I described it. Learning things which I even didn't know until today.
Can you describe your arrest in 1942, please?
Well, when they came by a huge Mercedes car from La Copana. They were not enough. They came in the night, and we were all asleep on the second floor in the house where we were hiring. It wasn't our house. We occupied the second floor. And I remember I heard a horrible knocking on the door, kicking the door. They were trying to kick the door in. They were afraid that we would escape. And I remember I looked out of the window. I thought, shall I jump down? But it was second floor, and down below was stone. I think so. So I hoped that nothing will happen to me, but I knew that I was going to Chester's was only a baby at that time. And it was terrible pandemonium, and they were beating when they were my father with the rubber trenches which they had in front of his wife in the bedroom. The child was screaming in terror. But I thought, well, if I keep quiet, they may forget me. I'll be and the chapel was like the senior interrogator with a very poetic name, Victorini, who was one of the chief Gestapo men came in. And I knew about him that he was a beast. He had a revolver, I remember, and he said, put the light on, said, get up, and don't dare to do anything in German, of course. Don't try to be funny, because that is one loaded, and he showed it to me. So I got up, and they put, they took us just as we were, you know, not even. By that car, my father and I, we were taken to a sanatorium for girls. It was a school, actually, the other side of Rapka. They spent the night there, locked up in a, with two other people who were arrested, in a little lavatory, which was only for one person, you can imagine how you can spend the night there. And we didn't know what they were going to do with us. Of course, they were going to take us to the panel for the interrogation.
This apparently was the 3rd of August 1942, according to your book.
Yes. And there in Zakopane, if I remember correctly, they put us through it every day and every night. You see, we were not allowed to. They tried to break us through. Two, they were trying to force us to admit that we were in the underground. And of course, our oath was that we will never do that. But what is more, they were trying to force us to give the names of people who were with us. Luckily, I was not aware of the names of the four other people who were my age, also graduates of the. I didn't know their names, thank God. So I was telling them I don't know. They didn't believe me. They kept knocking me down. They gave me the rubber stunt truncheon and asked to meet my father. They hung us on the wall, on the doors. This position, sort of.
Hands behind your back, handcuffs behind your back.
Very unpleasant situation, but very painful. So we were waiting, and they were just waiting if they catch these other people. They didn't. So about I have an actual notes about when what happened recently. I made them because I think I got to that. And they packed us onto a little lorry with two Gestapo men sitting in front of us. They put chains around our. There were four of us at that time. And they tied. I had a man lying on the floor of that thing. It was all the floor. That leg was chained to the right leg of my man on the left side. And that one to the left leg to the man. And they tied us with a rope which was that thick. So, I mean, it was impossible to even move. Nothing to say about escape. And they sat there all the way to 2 hours. Journey took us to Zakopane. Came there early in the morning. And then they asked us to get out. Well, we couldn't get out because we were tied to each other. So we fell out. And they also started beating us and the interrogation and that. And from there, we were taken to Auschwitz.
Which month do you think
not to Auschwitz, straight away. First to prison called Intanov. Jewish prison is in about 60 kilometers north. And in Tarnow, that prison was taken by the Gestapo, and the left-hand side of it was for common murderers, offenders, and so on. There were about 200 or 300 of them, if I remember correctly. But we didn't have anything to do with them, except when they shipped us to Zakopane, to Auschwitz. We went together. We were treated like common criminals.
Were you still being interrogated at Tarnow?
Not then. No. I finished with that. So we were sent to Auschwitz to actually work very hard and die from it. He told me that Victorine is, he says, he was a Viennese, could you believe it? And,
which was the worst, Tarnow or Auschwitz?
Well, Tarnow was a prison. You were in a cell. And in that cell, which was, it's a very old prison during the Austro-Hungarian times, they built the Austro-Hungarian emperor built a prison there, and it was filthy, it was full of vermin, and the cells were tiny, it's like this bathroom, it's a cell, maybe a little longer, and the cell had one sort of type of bed which was hinged onto the something, and then you could lower it, you could put it against the wall again, so you had more space. It was for one person. Do you know how many eventually political prisoners as we were? We were not. 12. So how did we sleep? Because everybody was bitching about it. I said, there's no use bitching. They were all much older than I. We have to devise some way where we can have some sleep. So we sat on six on the facing that wall, and if you imagine, and six that wall, and we have our backs against each other. And the bed bugs, thousands of them, were just dropping on us from the ceiling. We spent 6 months, at least I was 6 months there, two a day. After 6 months, they opened the door, and there was a Gestapo man there, and I knew that some of us will go. And they separated me from my father. They sent me to Auschwitz first. First, I was put one political prisoner in a cell of these common murderers and thieves. There must have been about 40 hours, a huge cell, and there was nowhere to sleep. That was the night before we were put on train to Auschwitz. And at that time, they delivered a parcel from my mother, which were goods which you never saw in the
a food parcel?
And the Gestapo man, after I was thrown in there, literally thrown in there, the door opened, and the second man said, which of you is Shelby? This one. There's a parcel for you from your mother. And he kicked it in.